My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have another teaching. It's in Galatia, on the book of Galatians, or the letter of Galatians. Paul's epistles, and he's writing this epistle to the churches of Galatia that have already been established, and that they've come into all kinds of problems. And the biggest problems they come into now is perversion of the gospel. Now you need to get your Bibles out and get them open and follow along. It's a verse-by-verse study of the book of Galatians. And we're going to start in chapter 2. So this is Galatians chapter 2. And this is going to be a really interesting. It was for me when I went through this. This is really interesting. And there's a lot of things here that is tremendously important for us to know. If the church today understood this, this would be a whole different ball of wax for everybody. It would make all the difference in the world for the kingdom of God. But people have totally turned their back on Paul's gospels. And in doing so, they have totally perverted the gospel. And they've caused millions of people to not come to know salvation, to be saved, because they never heard the gospel preached. And that's the only salvation we have, is what Jesus told us to have, and that's what's given to us by Paul. Our salvation is based on only one thing, that we believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And there's no other salvation there whatsoever. You believe that, you'll be saved, and you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and then God will live in your life with you the rest of your life and keep you until he comes to get you, either in the rapture or in your death. You cannot lose your salvation when you believe the gospel. It's impossible. We'll talk about that a little bit down the road, but we're going to get started now in chapter 2 in Galatians. It says, then, 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. During this 14 years, he was out in that Galatian area and he was establishing churches. And he was having problems. We've already talked about those problems in the previous lesson. That they were perverting the gospel. They were adding Judaism to the gospel. And God told him, now we're going to see this real close now, to go up there. And he had to meet with these disciples and get this straightened out. Because if he didn't, they were going to ruin his churches. So he went up there and he took Barnabas and he took Titus with him also. Verse 2, it says, and I went up by revelation. What's revelation? Jesus Christ told him to. He told him to go up there. By God, Jesus told him. That's what God told him to do it, see, to go up there. And so he did. And communicate unto them the gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles. So he was going to tell them what this gospel was, that they believed that Jesus died for their sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. That's salvation for this church and nothing else. And then the Holy Spirit would come upon them, okay? But he did it privately, he said, to them who were of reputation. So it was probably the 12, see. At least by any means I should run or have run in vain. So he went to the top first. He went to them and he told them these things. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. This is what the 12 told him. Well, you know, he had to be circumcised in order to be saved. Well, how did they know he had to be circumcised? Well, how did they know that he wasn't circumcised? You know, well, let me show you how they did it. And that because of false brethren, unaware, who came in secretly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. See, they wanted to find some reason to be after them, and one of them was that they weren't circumcised. How did they do that? Well, you see, how far was it where they had to come? I don't know, several hundred miles they walked to get to Jerusalem from the Galatian area. You know, there's no doubt about that. And it was a hot, humid, dirty thing to do. When they got there, they had public baths there. And, you know, when men are in a public bath, taking a bath, other men are there, and this spy was here. He was one of the Jewish people, were keeping an eye on him, and they could tell beyond any shadow of a doubt that Titus wasn't circumcised. I mean, that's nothing hard to do. I mean, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. You see, it's just they know, they can tell it. And that's what they did. They put a man in there, and so they could use that to put Paul's people in bondage. But what did Paul say? What did he say? To whom we gave place by no subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You see, if he had gave in and said, okay, go ahead and circumcise him, Titus, all you're doing is you're adding. He's saying that this is something you have to do to be saved. You're adding to the gospel. And Paul wasn't going to have it. Because the gospel had to be the truth. And it was the truth. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. See, they were perverting the gospel. And he knew that. And it wouldn't happen. He wasn't going to allow that to happen. In verse 6 it says, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. See, they act like they knew what they were doing. They were the apostles. God accepts no man person, for they seem to be of somewhat in conference, but they added nothing to me. You see, they were trying to tell him that these people had to keep the law. These people, his people, had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And who knows what else they did? He could have said a lot of things that is not written here. But he would have nothing of it. Nothing of it. But you see, God truly intervened. He opened up their eyes. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It says, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, see, that's for the Jews, uncircumcision was the gospel of the Gentiles, was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. Now look at this now. There's two gospels, see. And both of them are correct. You see, Paul was saved by the gospel of the circumcision. He was saved at the gospel of the kingdom. You see? And he had to believe all these things. You see? But also, there was a gospel of grace. You see, that was committed to Paul. So you have two gospels. And you see, our job is to rightly divide the word of truth. The word of truth. We've got to rightly divide this word of truth. Both of them were true. If a Jew believed the gospel that Peter was preaching, he would be saved. If a Gentile would have believed the gospel that Paul taught, the gospel of grace, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose, you'll be saved. But you see, you can't mix the two together. You've got to learn to rightly divide. Look what this says. Just turn to 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. This is really neat. And this is something that God just showed me. And it really makes a difference. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And that's what we need to do. But you see, you can't do that unless you believe the gospel. Because you won't have the Holy Spirit. And a person without Holy Spirit, he just can't study the Word of God. And that's why the pastors today don't know what they're talking about. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're doing it by their own mentality. And they can't comprehend the Bible. Oh, they get along enough to be able to teach the main themes of what they think is supposed to be main, or what the denomination tells them they should teach, and they just teach it, see. But they don't know what the Scripture says. That's why we're in the situation we're in. Look what it says now. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workmanship that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, always I was thinking when I read that, I was thinking that the word of God. No, it didn't say word of God. It says the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, what's the word of truth? Well, you compare Scripture with Scripture. Turn back to Ephesians. It's just after Galatians. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verses 13. It says, "In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth." The gospel. Oh, what's the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of what? Of your salvation. "In whom also after you believed what? The gospel or the word of truth, see? After you believe the word of truth or the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You hear me say that all the time. That's the second most important verse in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. It's just, but look what it shows. What is the word of truth? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. So what is he telling us? What is Paul telling us when he tells us to rightly divide the word of truth? Here we got two gospels. It's the gospel, see? But we got two gospels here, and both of them were true. But we got to rightly divide them, see? And the churches haven't done it today. They've taken Peter's gospel and put it in the church. And it doesn't belong there. It can't be there. Because if it is, it's a perversion. And it, actually, we'll find that down the road, you're going to see it, and I think I'll just change here, how important it is that you don't add anything to the gospel. Just turn on over to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to get to it eventually, but it'll be a while. But look what it says. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ hath made us free." See? "And be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage." What's the yoke of bondage? The law. And all the things that the Judaism is the yoke of bondage, see? He's talking to the church here, see? He's saying the same church. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again into the yoke of bondage." Now look what he says in verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised," you see, if you're going to add circumcision, this is the church, see, and they believe the gospel for their salvation, and if you go ahead and they're telling you have to be circumcised, the Jews, in order to be saved, what did he say? "If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." I mean, that's a big gulp. Can you imagine that? If they went ahead and did that, Christ would profit you nothing. And if he didn't profit you nothing, you're lost, see? "I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you." No effect whatsoever. That cross did not pay for your sins because you added to the gospel, see? "Whosoever you are who are justified by the law," if you're saying I have to keep the law in order to be saved, what does it say? You've fallen from grace. You've fallen from grace. Think about that. Now, you can add a lot of things to that. Obviously, the churches aren't involved in the circumcision today, and they're not involved in the law. But have they added things to the gospel? Sure they have. How about baptism? Did it say anything in the gospel that you should be baptized? No. What's the gospel say? That you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and then you've got to be baptized. No, it didn't say that, did it? But if you add baptism to the gospel, Christ will have no benefit for you. You see? If you add church membership, the church says, well, you have to belong to our church in order to be saved, and you believe it, you've fallen from grace. You see? If he tells you, you've got to pray to Mary in order to be saved, Christ profits you nothing. It's kept on and on and on. The church is telling things that you have to do in order to be saved. Some churches say, well, you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. Well, if you add speaking in tongues, you've added to the gospel. You perverted it. And what happens? You have fallen from grace. Christ has no effect for you. Now, I didn't say that, see. This is what the book says. This is what the book says, and people go, they will not listen. They won't read the book. And when you do read it to them, it goes right over the head, you see. Because, you see, they don't have the Holy Spirit. There's not a church out there if they don't preach the gospel, there's no Holy Spirit in their churches. Think about it. Why is it the churches today have 500 people on their roll and only 50 show up or 75? And the ones that show up, they're just there because they feel like they should be. And they don't hear a word that the preacher says. They've got their mind thinking about everything else but what she's saying. And when it finally, when it's over with, they'll smile at the pastor and say, "Good, that was a good sermon," and they didn't hear a word of it. Walk out of there and they'll say, "Well, Lord, I was here. You owe me one." You see, he wasn't saved in the first place. And very likely the pastor wasn't either. The churches have turned their back on the gospel. I know a few churches in Texas that preach in the gospel. But where I live, I haven't found one yet. I even went to a church that calls the gospel chapel. And they told me they didn't believe in the gospel. They wouldn't even hear of it. They didn't want it preached, taught, or talked about, or even thought about in their church. And it was called the gospel chapel. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, see. And that's all Paul taught. And he was talking to Gentiles. That's you and me. This is salvation for us, you see. Total salvation for us. Now let's go back to Galatians, and we're in verses 7. Let's look at that again. It says, "But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me," that's for us, see, "and the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." To the Gentiles. And so look what happened now. They really finally understood that the grace of God was upon Paul, as well as Peter. Both of these gospels are true. It just depends on who you're teaching it to. You don't teach the gospel. But nowadays, the gospel of grace is for the Jews. You see, that's the only way they can be saved now, because he set aside the gospel of the kingdom. But the gospel of the kingdom was going to be preached during the millennium. Not the millennium, but during just before the millennium, they're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But anyhow, look what it says in verse 9. "And then Jesus, James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should be to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision." You see, they shook hands on it. They shook hands on it. Think about that. They agreed. You take your gospel, Paul, to the uncircumcision. You take yours to the Gentiles, see. That's what they called the uncircumcised. And we'll take our gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, to the Jew, see, the circumcised. And so that's how Paul left it, you see. But Paul was a tremendous Jew. And he had a tremendous love for the Jew. And I don't think he quit. Jesus told him, he always told him, you go to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And I really believe that when he went to the Jew, I believe that he taught the gospel of the kingdom to him. Because he didn't want to undermine the apostles, see. I think he did. Because they were saved by that, see. They were saved by believing in Jesus, see. And I think Paul did. I think he preached the gospel of the kingdom to him. And I'm going to show you about that. We'll talk about that. The reason why I say that is because in the book of Romans, well, we'll start off in the book of Acts. We'll show you this. Just look here. Look at the book of Acts. And it's the last chapter in Acts. God just brought this to my mind, and I think this is important. The last chapter of Acts. And he was on the ship, a prison ship, and they brought him. He was under guard, and he finally got to Rome. And when he got to Rome, they found lodging for him there. And he didn't have to go to prison at that time. And the first thing he did was called for the Jews. No, excuse me. Yeah, the chief of the Jews. He called for the chief of the Jews, and the chief of the Jews, they all came out, and he made an appointment, and he made this appointment, and he said, I want to put together, I want to talk to you about Jesus, and this, they decided to do it. And we look at this verse, we'll start off at verse 23. It says, when they had appointed him a day, there came many. This is chapter 28, verses 23. It says, and when they came appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. You see, it didn't say the gospel. He said the kingdom of God, persuading and concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, and from morning till evening. You see, he didn't teach the gospel. You see, because where did he get it from? He said he got it out, they got it, persuaded them concerning Jesus out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. You see, the gospel isn't in any place in the Bible whatsoever, or even mentioned the gospel of grace in the Old Testament or in the law, or it wasn't mentioned by Jesus, or it wasn't ever mentioned by the rest of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, when they wrote. It was a secret. That's what Paul called it. Let me show you where it says that. We're looking in Romans, and look at verses chapter 25. See, this was never given in the Old Testament. And so he had, in order for him to teach Jesus out of the Old Testament, he couldn't have been teaching the gospel. And here's what it says in verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verses 25. It says, now to him that is in the power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which kept secret since the world began. You see, he was the first person to get this secret of this gospel. And so he couldn't have been preaching to these Jews the gospel of the kingdom, because he went to the Old Testament. It's not there. It's not in the law. It's not there. So he had to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them, and he did, you see. And I find that he also preached the gospel of the kingdom in the book of Romans. And we're not going to get involved in that right away, but I want to show you one thing that's important. You look in Romans chapter 9. 9, 10, and 11, you'll find that you'd be going along in Romans, and all of a sudden, after 8, it just, everything changes. I mean, totally changes. And he starts off, he says, like in verse 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness of the Holy Spirit, that I have a great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart, for I wish that I myself be accursed from Christ for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. See, he was concerned for the Jews. And then look what in verses in chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel's sake, is that they might be saved. And then look how he told them how you to be saved. He said, if thou shalt confess, verses 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that the gospel? Is there anything about that he died on the cross to pay for our sins? There's nothing in that. That's the gospel of the kingdom. You see, they believed that their sins were taken care of by baptism, see. You see, he preached the gospel of the kingdom right here to the Jews. But he was talking to Jews. But you see, I know a church that uses this that's supposed to be a Christian church for salvation. And there's not a thing about the blood of Christ. There's not a thing that he died on a cross to pay for our sins. It just said that he raised from the dead. And this isn't. And then he goes on up a little further. He says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then goes down here, for whosoever shall call upon his name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not the gospel. That's Judaism. But you've got to realize who he's talking to. He loved the Jews so much, but when he talked to the Jews, he didn't preach the gospel to them. He preached Judaism to them. And you got to understand how to rightly divide the word, because if you don't, you'll be, I know a church right now, that's the salvation for that church. And those people aren't saved because of nothing to do with Christ died on that cross. And that's the main reason that we're saved, is because he paid for our sins through his death on the cross. He paid for our sins, but it's not there. So we have to learn to rightly divide the word of God. And it's and that's tremendously important. And so when we look at there, when they talk about the two gospels, that's the word of truth. You've got to divide the word of truth. See, the word of truth. And these two of them are truth. One of them is for the Gentile, and the other one is for the Jew. I hope people would understand that. But they haven't, and I don't know. But I'm going to preach it till the good Lord sends me home and takes me home. And I just pray that everybody here will understand these things, and that they will understand how important the gospel is. It's changed my life, and it'll change yours too. And all he asks you to do is just to believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and he takes it from there. And he takes it from there. Think about that. Let's pray. Father, I just praise you and thank you for this opportunity to teach your word. And I pray that the people will understand it, and that they'll grow in the knowledge of the word of God, and they will come to the saving knowledge of the gospel. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.